In his paper describing the famous test that bears his name, British computer scientist Alan Turing begins by outlining a gender Turing test, in which an interrogator works to determine which of two parties is actually a woman, based on a series of questions. Similarly, in the more widely known version of the Turing test, an interrogator works to determine which of two parties is actually a human versus a machine, based on a series of questions. The history of both gender and machines is filled with such anxieties. Who is real and who is imitation? What happens when the imitation becomes indistinguishable from, or even surpasses the original? How do we keep things ordered and under control? We make sure that Siri has a woman's voice when she acts as our secretary. Make sure the drag queen removes her makeup at the end of the night and returns to his body. In the 19th century, machines entered the world of lace manufacturing. And with them came a rolling ball of ruling class anxieties. High society was anxious as more men were involved in lace creation as the machine's operators, taking on what was historically understood as feminized work. They were anxious that the middle classes could now afford machine-made lace, thus eroding the ruling class's iron grip on this delicate textile. In their anxiety, nobles and critics often insisted on the supremacy of handmade lace over what they referred to as imitation or machine-made lace. The ruling class romanticized the work of making lace by hand, painting a pastoral image of a countryside woman who patiently and meditatively crafts beautiful lace while also tending to her husband and dozen children. The real picture of lace making was, of course, much grimmer. Brutal yet detailed work, dim light, sorry wages. As a lace maker, the majority of the profits from the pieces you made were kept far away from your life and remained in the coffers of the men who owned the means of production, while the clothes you made adorned the lives of high-class ladies who cared little and thought nothing of you. It's not that far off from how our clothes are made now, outsourced to faraway hands in whatever place poverty runs deepest. Imagine with me for a moment a fairy tale. Once upon a time, all the men who controlled the lace industry pricked their fingers on the spindles of magical spinning wheels and fell into deep and unshakable slumbers. Freed from the control of these men, 19th century European lace makers, both women and machines, forged a new alliance based in admiration and respect for one another's expertise and practice. Together, they seized creative and economic control of the lace industry, and new traditions of fantastical, analytical handicrafts sprang forward. For a whole epoch of European history, there would be no separation at all between the worlds of domesticity, of knowledge creation, of art, of craft, of women's work, of mathematics, of people and machines. But all these would be understood as one continuous expression of life and creation, the sacred circuit. And thus, the glittering world was spun.